Ladies and gentlemen, the issues facing this administration are large and many. They require just the kind of president we have right now. So many of us are glad to see his approvals back on the upswing. Good thing. And one of the best decisions this president has made this year is the appointment of the man I'm about to speak to right now, my old friend and erstwhile talk radio colleague, little TV he did too, White House Press Secretary Tony Snow. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Bill.
Great to talk to you. Thanks so much for giving us some time.
Thank you.
We've known each other for what, since Greensboro, North Carolina?
Greensboro, North Carolina.
The 70s?
In fact, 27 or 28 years.
Yeah, well, you're not showing your age. Some of us are, though. Anyway, you're heading to Europe, Tony, right?
Yes, we are.
All right. We were reading yesterday a number of columns, Robert Kagan's, others, about anti-Americanism. We're going to run into that over there. What does the president plan to do and say, and what do you expect to hear?
Well, there are a couple of things that are going to go on. You're going to have an EU summit, and the president's going to be there. We're going to be talking about free trade because, you know, free trade makes you more prosperous, and the Europeans have been holding out on a number of things. So he's going to try to go ahead and get the Europeans to go along. There's been some pretty hard bargaining, especially in agriculture. Second thing that's going to happen is we're going to talk about the war on terror. A number of nations also have made some commitments to Iraq for its reconstruction. The president's going to urge them to go ahead and pony up. I think he's going to be speaking with members of the EU about the situation in Iran. The so-called EU3 have been working pretty hard to get the Iranians to suspend all their nuclear weapons activities. The Europeans are going to want to talk about Guantanamo and human rights and such things. So the president, I think, is going to be perfectly willing to address that. So, yeah, it's going to be a pretty quick meeting, but my guess is that those are going to be at the top of the docket.
Right, right. Well, we really admire and respect the president for standing up for us, the United States, for standing up for the situation in Iraq, but we see that the movement on Iraq now, the Japanese are supposed to be announcing pulling out today. What about that?
Well, actually, they're pulling out of one of the provinces, but they're staying involved in Iraq. The good news is that the Iraqis are actually taking over one of their provinces, and it's going to allow the Japanese to redeploy. So, contrary to some press reports, they are not bailing out. They're just moving around, and they're moving around in the right kind of situation, whereas you're going to have at least one out of the 18 provinces now thoroughly, completely, and 100% under the control of Iraq.
All right, shocking to think that we could get a misreport from the press, but I guess it happens occasionally. I said in Time magazine yesterday, that my problem is there's a disposition to believe anything, no matter how horrible, if it's critical of what we're doing, and an indisposition to believe anything, no matter how reliable.
Good.
It's just the way it works. It's very frustrating. Rubai this morning, I don't know if I'm saying it right, National Security Advisor to the Iraqi government, he talks about in a column that we'll see the end of U.S. troops presence in Iraq by the end of 07. We'll see it below 100,000 by the end of this year. What's the difference between what he's saying and what the Democrats are proposing?
Well, what Democrats are proposing is a so-called phased withdrawal where you just sort of say at a magical date you pull out. One of the things that, and the president talked about this with Prime Minister Maliki last week over in Baghdad, the Iraqis would like to have us out by the end of the next year, and they'd like to have it down to 100,000 troops. But on the other hand, they've also said, of course, this depends upon the conditions on the ground. So it's important to realize that those are sort of goals that the Iraqis have, but they are not engraved in stone. If you have more problems or it's going to take a little bit longer, they're willing to do that. As a matter of fact, every single Iraqi leader we talked to, and it was, Shia, Sunni, and Kurds all said, don't leave. Stick around. Get the job done. So the difference between what Rubai is saying and what Democratic leaders have been saying is that he's got a goal that he'd like to achieve 100,000 by the end of this year and out by the end of next year. But on the other hand, should circumstances dictate otherwise, he's not going to insist on it. There's not going to be any real timetable on this. The only real sort of timetable is when we succeed.
Right. So it's conditional. It's conditional on circumstances. As you understand what the Democrats are proposing, it's not conditional. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, no matter what happens, we're going to get out. And I'm sorry, that's disastrous. And, Bill, one of the things people don't realize, everybody thinks, well, we get out, they'll take care of it. there are a lot of people in Iraq right now whose heads are spinning. 3 years, you know, a little more than 3 years ago, we came in. Saddam had terrorized the country for more than 20 years. And so people in that country are still adjusting to the realities of having control over their lives and having freedom. And there are a lot of folks who are used to living in despotism who are trying to make a decision. Do I go with the insurgents or do I go with the government? You know, who do I go with? Because they figure they make the wrong decision. They may not survive, especially when it comes to the insurgents. If we bail out, they're likely to go with the bad guys. That's just the kind of life or death calculation people are going to make. And, you know, if we stick around and we allow the democracy to form itself, we allow a credible police force to form and start doing its job, we allow the Iraqi military to become self-sufficient when it comes to national defense. We do all those things. It's going to be a real easy choice because given the all other things being equal, people are always going to choose freedom.
Yeah, absolutely. You were with the president last week in a surprise visit, right?
That must
have been a great trip.
Yeah.
Morale is high, right, among our troops.
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we were in this ballroom in the embassy in Baghdad. It was troops and also embassy personnel. And what was interesting is, we sort of expected to hear people cheer, but there was something about the intensity of the cheering that really brought to, I mean, you saw the president tearing up, and we were on the sides too. It was amazing. I've never seen an outpouring like that. Television cameras, and I'm sure, you know, the sound crews didn't quite capture it. But it was one of those things that sort of surprised you because there was so much, not only was morale high, but people were also really, really happy to have somebody say thank you to them. They've been getting beaten up in the press here. Their accomplishments have been belittled. And all of a sudden you get a president out there saying, you're doing great things. We've got a new government. We got Zarqawi. Morale was sky high.
Yeah. No, listen, this notion that you can support soldiers but not support the mission, I don't think
that
soldiers
work.
Soldiers don't buy that, not when their life is to be on a mission, right?
Exactly. Well, you know, the soldiers don't like the idea of saying, I support you even though you're a sucker.
Sorry,
that doesn't work.
Right. We have the greatest admiration for the president. We support him on so many things. We got to bring up a domestic issue in which we do disagree, and that is immigration. How do you see the situation there?
I actually, and I disagree with you on this one. I mean, we'll part company. Look, I think the president's got it right, and I think he's got it right for a couple of reasons. Number one, everybody agrees that the first job is border security. The borders have not been secure, and furthermore, we've not had credible ways of going after illegals since the amnesty of 1986. So what's the president doing? First thing he says is, I'm going to go ahead and do border security right now. I'm not even going to wait for the House and Senate to act. And he's going to be deploying more Border Patrol agents than the House. We'll all the talk about toughness. He's doing more Border Patrol agents to the border than the House or the Senate had proposed. He's also being smart about this, Bill. You know, in some places you need fences. Some places you need Border Patrol. Some places you just need surveillance techniques. So put the right resources where you need them. Doing it already. Second point, you've got to figure out who the illegals are. Well, one of my problems with enforcement first is it's a way of saying, well, and then, we're not going to worry about who the illegals are right now, and we're not really going to go after the employers right now, and we're not really going to think about what we do with 11 or 12 million. Why not? I mean, that's the thing that's got people concerned right now. So the president's gone ahead, and he's got a proposal for biometric IDs. No more excuses. One of the problems in enforcement in the past is somebody, you go to the 7-Eleven or whatever. I'm sure 7-Eleven will get mad at me. You go to some little store someplace, and somebody, cranks out a fake ID for you, and the employer says, well, it looks good to me. You're not going to be able to do that anymore. You can't fake your fingerprints. You can't fake biometric data. So all of a sudden, what do you have? You have a series of steps that are, A, going to allow you to identify the illegals, B, going to create a powerful incentive for them to go ahead and identify themselves, C, for employers, they're going to get hammered. And contrary to a lot of reports, we've actually been more vigorous in going after employers in recent years because we've changed it. We're not simply handing out fines now. We're going ahead and prosecuting them in court as criminals. And we're also seizing assets. So we're doing asset forfeiture. So the bite's a lot deeper than it used to be in the old days. In other words, more vigorous enforcement, no excuses for employers. And finally, on this idea of amnesty, this is kind of the sticking point for a lot of people. Path to citizenship for some people. Now, the data we have indicate that maybe a half to at most two-thirds of the people who are here illegally may want to become citizens. Well, we're going to find out if they really want to become citizens, because under the president's plan, here's how it works. First, you've got to go ahead and identify yourself. Second, you go to the back of the line behind everybody else who's already applied. Then you got a series of tests you have to do. You got to keep your nose clean. You break the law in the Senate bill, one felony, three misdemeanors, you're out of here. Number two, you got to keep working. You can't be sponging off the welfare system. You have to contribute. Number three, you pay a substantial fine, plus you pay back taxes. Number four, you got to assimilate. You got to learn the English language. You got to learn about American culture. You put all that together, and you're talking about a path that is going to take 11, 12 years. And the people who, at the very end, we're going to find out if these people really want to be American citizens, because no group in American history will have waited longer or paid more for the right, and furthermore, will have demonstrated that they want to integrate into our society. So you put all that together, it's hardly amnesty. And as a matter of fact, as you know, the 1986 bill declared it a misdemeanor to come across the border illegally, and you know, nobody really cared. This time you get substantial penalties, also beefing up the border. A couple of things people don't know, Bill, is that illegal immigration has actually been trending down for the last 6 years, and since the redeployment along the border, since we've been moving National Guard units down there to allow Border Patrol agents to focus on their full-time jobs, guess what's happened? That's right. The illegal immigration has been shutting down again. So
I want to be polite, but I know you got to run, but I don't know anybody, Tony, who's saying we shouldn't go after employers now. And the efforts against employers over the last couple of years have been pretty small beer. I mean, the number is very, very small.
Well, except, you know, the thing is, I mean, I've read the press reports. Well, they've only fined X number, you know, the fines were down to three. That's right, because we're, in fact, engaged in more than 1,000 criminal prosecutions. And so what somebody's taken is something that we have stopped doing because it wasn't very effective.
But we're still 500,000 a year is what the estimate is. John Kyle says 139,000 a year. Kyle's committee of felons, people who already are felons before they cross the border.
Well, yeah, guess what? You send them back now. I mean, that's, believe it or not, I mean, look, we weren't serious about this stuff. I'm not denying that. But the fact is, the numbers have been going down, and they've been going down since the year 2000, and we obviously want to be serious about it. But the idea that you say, okay, we're not, I hate to say it, Bill, but everybody says, yeah, we want to go after employers, but nobody's been serious about it. Nobody's been serious about a way of identifying who the employees are and also making sure there are no excuses for employers.
We can certainly agree on that and certainly agree on a way to do it. But I think the point is, when people say, well, immediate deportation of 10 or 12 million people isn't possible, you start cracking down on the employers, a lot of people will go back on their own.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Exactly.
But I think the sticking point still is that is amnesty. And it is amnesty.
But no, it's not amnesty.
Yeah, the punishment for illegal border crossing is deportation, and people are not going to be deported.
Well, now, wait a minute. What you're saying here is, again, and you understand how the law works. In the old days, it was a misdemeanor punishable by nothing. What the president's saying is no. You not only pay a fine, you pay back taxes, and you have to fulfill the requirements of citizenship for a very long time. Look, there may be some debates. Mike Pence's got a bill where you go and you stick your foot across the border. There's going to be some movement on these things, but the idea that somehow this situation is going to resolve itself, me scratching my head.
No, I don't.
11 or 12 million, then you figure out what you're going to do about it.
I don't think it's going to resolve itself. But let me just say that the punishment for even the misdemeanor was deportation.
Now let me ask you.
Okay. All right, here he goes.
No, back
to old mode here. Okay.
No, it's only fair.
It's
a simple question.
Sure,
you got people who are guilty of working, going to church on Sundays, and living in intact families, and wanting to be Americans. I mean, you got to face the fact that a lot of these people are also, they're Bill Bennett fans. They're people reading the Book of Virtues to their kids. And, you know, the idea that what you have is this unbroken stream of would-be criminals, you and I both know that's not true.
Yeah.
And so how is it that we get smart about this? You're absolutely right. You got criminals, send them back. You got to figure out a way to do that. And on the other hand, people who are willing to demonstrate the hard way by waiting longer, working longer, contributing to the economy, contributing taxes, doing all that stuff, I don't know. That not only is that not offensive to me, what we found out is you go out, and this wasn't concocted in order to accommodate polls,
right.
But the polls are pretty faithful.
No, look, I the president's been consistent on it. I know that. But, I mean, you can take a group of folks and say they're great and they're law-abiding, they go to church, read the Book of Virtues, and I can tell you 90% of the felons in L.A. are illegals, and there are lots of people who are stealing identities, and there are lots of employers who've got a deal with these guys.
I'm just telling you that,
this is why we have a rule of law. I think this is why we
have a rule of law. And here's the thing: the rule of law was not observed. I'm not going to debate that at all, because you're right. There was no rule of law. So how do you restore a rule of law? How do you make it credible? And how do you also deal with the fact, Bill, a lot of folks are uncomfortable with the fact that the people they encounter, and you and I have encountered them a lot in this area, which is they're not the guys who are filling up the jails in Los Angeles. You know, the biggest complaint in our neighborhood about illegals is they show up to work too early and they stay to work too late. You know,
yeah.
They're sitting outside the house at 6:30 in the morning drinking their 7-Eleven coffee and listening to the radios, waiting for 7 o'clock to start so they can get out their hammers and start banging.
I understand why people want to be here. I called the subtitle of my book, Last Best Hope. I mean, everybody wants to be here. We got to have rules. We've got to observe them. And one of the rules is the rule of law. You've stayed longer than we committed to you, and you got to go. If you want to say anything to conclude, it's fine. You've done a great job. You're a very fine guy, Tony. You've done an excellent job as a spokesman. We're very glad you're there.
You know what? It's a long way from Greensboro, isn't it, Bill?
It sure is. And we admire you and your job. It's a tough job, but you're working for a very good man whom we admire, and please give him our best.
I will, and congratulations on all your success. I'm really happy for you.
Thanks, Tony Snow. You're a great man. Bye-bye.
See you, Bill.